Ready party. Okay, gotta
Love
go.
Talk Radio.
Bye bye. It's 3 p.m., June the 1st, 2012. I have a question for you. I need this question. I don't even know what year it is. But I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are?
Do you really?
Well, everything in this political life, as I said, political life, is politics. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We're going to be discussing those that are working for you and those that are working against you. Just because they are a Democrat or a Republican and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for you, who are working for your benefit. And we're going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to also be discussing the education system, the military, healthcare, science, sports. And speaking about healthcare, do you have it? Do you need it? Are you 26 years old and still on your family's healthcare plan? Or as the Regressive Party says, Obamacare? We are going to bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word from the cities, the counties, the states, the entire nation and the world. So get a piece of paper and pencil and take this hour as a classroom experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. I'm Michael Lawson. Yes, sir. June the 1st, 2012. And we have so much, as my friend Mr. Ernest Walker says, shiggity going on. It's unbelievable. I mean to tell you, we got a load of stuff going on. We're going to have Grace Lee Galloway, Cabarrus County Democratic Chair in North Carolina, where this broadcast is coming from, but we're broadcasting out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're going to have Mr. Marshall Harvey, the Soil and Water Commissioner in Wake County. And we're going to have two fine young people from Democracy, North Carolina, Diana and Stefan, who are going to talk to us about Democracy, North Carolina, and why you need to vote. I don't care if you're voting the Socialist Party. You need a vote. If you don't vote, you deserve every single thing you get. As the people in North Carolina realize now, when they didn't vote in 2010, they are getting everything they wanted because they did not vote. We're also going to be having the candidate for lieutenant governor for the Democratic Party in North Carolina, Linda Coleman, on. But right now, there was some breaking news just a little while ago in the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case. The judge in the Trayvon Martin case has revoked Zimmerman's bail. He's got 48 hours to turn his butt in. Because it now has come to pass that this guy has a second passport. Would you believe that? and that supposedly he has some money somewhere. Well, what would you believe about that? He's got some money somewhere? No. Yes, he does. He's got some money hidden somewhere. As a matter of fact, I don't know how it came about because they're talking about it right now. It's as I'm watching the breaking news on TV, he was seen talking to his wife, and it seems like they were talking in some sort of coded language about money that he has. Now, supposedly, he already talked about this with his lawyer. So is the lawyer sandbagged, or did the lawyer know and just keeping it to himself when he should have informed the prosecutors? Well, they're talking about it right now. He said he's got 48 hours to turn himself in, and then they will see. Can you imagine having a second passport? I mean, why would his lawyer even ask him if he had a second passport? And why would he, as the judge calls it, Zimmerman engaged in a material falsehood? So the bond is revoked as of right now. So wherever you are, Mr. Zimmerman, you got 48 hours to get your butt into the jail. And did anybody listen or watch the hanging of Bush 43 in the White House yesterday? Yes, George W. said that about himself. It wasn't me. I'm not saying it. And it refers to, the hanging of his portrait in the White House. And as he told the president in front of all the people, got a few chucks, that, Mr. President, when you're walking through these halls and you have a great weight on your mind, just look up and ask the portrait, what would George do? Well, we know what George would do. He'd ask the real president. Excuse me. The real president. Oh, we're talking about Dick Cheney. Oh, by the way, did you notice something about that event if you watched it yesterday? Or have you heard about it yesterday? Oh, the Bush administration had 95% of all the people there from his administration for the unveiling of their portraits in the White House that will hang in the White House of him and his wife, Laura, where he should be. But the real president wasn't there, Mr. Cheney. I wonder if he even got an invite. They left Darth Vader out. And we had this this guy, what's his name? Mr. Romney. This man is so funny. Romney rode out to the closed Solyndra factory in California yesterday and tried as he could, again, to tie the bankruptcy of the company, Solyndra, to Obama and the Obama administration. Well, everyone, every half-wit, every person with a half a brain knows that the Solyndra factory and company was started under Bush 43. I mean, come on. And it was started as an alternative look at the possible future oil alternatives. Even he knew there needed to be some oil alternative programs. And only under Obama did it blow up into a major problem when Solyndra went bankrupt during the Obama administration. I mean, this is just completely unbelievable. Romney said yesterday at the closed Solyndra factory, that President Obama 2 years ago touted this now closed building, quote, as a symbol of success of his stimulus package. But as you can see, it is the symbol of something else. It is the symbol not of success, but of failure. Okay. And, you know, Rami, this is just so incredible. By focusing on Cylindra, and the company started with gangbusters, okay? The company that was selected, it got $535 million from the Department of Energy in loan guarantees during the Bush administration. And when it went bankrupt, it had to lay off its entire staff. Romney now argues that the Obama administration doesn't understand the free market and has wasted taxpayer money. But what the minister does not say is that $528 million in the federal loan guarantees was given to the company by the Department of Energy, as I said before, under the Bush administration. Or does he? Does he really not get that? Or does he not care? Well, the polls last year and this year show that the voters don't care, and they're not outraged about it because they know that companies fail and companies don't fail, no matter what you do to them. The trick here is that if you're like the closer, Bain Capital, the vulture capitalists like Bain Capital, they take good companies that they can buy into by having them buy up other countries, by injecting money into their company. And saying you can buy up these other companies that may not be compatible with your company, putting in X amount of dollars, but then taking out three and four times the amount of money. So they tell you you need to lay off people in order to make this work. They take their money out three and four times what they put in, and then the company goes bankrupt. That's a different story from loaning money to a company and then having the company go bankrupt. The companies that Bain Capital were involved with, they didn't loan money to Bain Capital. Bain Capital went in there and gave them money so they could buy other companies, telling them that, hey, you will make a bigger splash. And then when those companies, just before those companies failed, they had the people downsize. And while they were downsizing, they emptied out the coffers of those companies, took as much money as they could so the company wouldn't close on the same day. And then when the company had no more equity left, it went bankrupt. I mean, this is completely outrageous. And people need to understand how the vulture capitalists work. Then you have this nut job, Daryl Issa out in California, who's the head of the House Oversight Committee. They investigated this Cylindra the moment the president got in office. They've been investigating it because it was said that the Obama administration made money that they gave to friends and donors and family members of the people of the company. Now, the Romney administration, or should I say the Romney administration, the Regressive Party and the Romney cabal, they just lie about everything. Even former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said that he considers this debate over Cylindra a narrow-minded debate in a world moving faster towards renewable energy. Romney said yesterday that an independent inspector found that more than $16 billion was steered to friends and family by the Obama administration and to major donors to the administration. Well, let me tell you this. No inspector general has ever looked into the investment of Solyndra and concluded that the administration had steered money to friends and donors. It is an outright big lie. The Romney cabal has said further that the so-called independent IG, Gregory Friedman, testified, quote, contracts have been steered to friends and family. The IG has investigated this, and let me tell you what the IG said. Nothing, no, nada, zero. They have not found one single dime of that stimulus money went to anyone except Solyndra, where it was supposed to go. On the Rachel Maddow show last night, Rachel went into detail about this lie and brought to light an article written by Michael Greenwald from Time magazine, in which Greenwald pointed out that this statement was actually an excerpt from a book called Throw Them All Out, written by Peter Schweitzer, who served as an advisor to guess who? The liar herself. Sarah Palin. This guy also wrote for Andrew Breitbart and a slew of other books portraying Democrats as pawn. Well, I don't even want to go into it. So, you know the old joke? How do you know when a lawyer is lying? Their mouth is moving. Therefore, how do you tell when the minister is lying? His mouth is moving. Well, don't forget, we can etch-a-sketch this, and we can forget all about it. This reminds me of the great comedy, A Guide for a Married Man. I think this was 1967. It was one of the funniest movies I ever seen. And the movie, the whole pretense of the movie was a man gives his coworker a series of lessons on how to cheat on his wife without being caught. The major lesson to get from this movie in connection with Romney is if you lie, even in the face of getting caught, even in the face of the truth slapping you in the face, deny, deny, deny. Let's see who we have on the phone here. Oh, I think I know who it is, and we have something for her. Just listen.
Man, woman, earth, death, infinity.
Yes, it's Grace's Corner.
You pulled that old Dr. Kildare thing. I love it.
It's Dr. Grace Lamb Galloway.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah, I told you I was going to have something for you.
Mm-hmm. How much trouble can I get into today?
Please. Hey, you're already, you're so far down the road, it don't matter.
I know it. Well,
first, I want to ask you, did you hear about this daggone gender-based abortion bill?
Oh, yes. You know,
What the heck? What are we doing here?
This is like China way back when they wanted to get rid of all the girls. You know, so that's what they did. You know, they were drowning girls, right? When if a girl baby was born, they would drown her because they couldn't. The girl baby couldn't look out the field. Well, yeah, we could, but anyway, they drowned all these girl babies, and then later on, a couple of decades later, they found out there was a shortage of women. Gee, really? Men didn't have enough women for men to get married to.
They didn't have enough beads on that adding machine they had.
Mm-hmm.
So
like
what's
that.
The story? So what's the story?
Well, there are lots of stories. Which one do you want to talk about today?
Well, it's your corner. You deal the stories.
All right. Well, let's talk about. Let's see. There are a whole bunch of things going on in the state. Let's talk about how the Republicans in Raleigh had just happily decided that they were going to take away tenure for teachers. So, let's just go ahead and do that. And then, of course, what they want to do as well is they want to tie the teachers' union to the same restrictions as they tied the postal workers. You know, the postal workers, they said, okay, you can have a union, but you've got to have like 95% of your pension fund put away up front or whatever.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't function. They want to do a similar thing to the teachers' union.
Well, who would want to be a teacher? Who would want to be a teacher?
And the latest argument is that, of course, what's happening is if you look at every other country in the world where there is free health care. Now, in Canada, the average cost for a university per year is about $2,500 Canadian. Okay? $2,500 Canadian. Well, Lord, if we had $2,500 of tuition per year here, we had the best educated group of people in the whole entire world, which we used to have. We used to have that when education was affordable, and we led the world in innovation. We led the world in science, in math, in creativity. You name it, we led the world. But you know, when we privatized student loans, you know that, right?
That's right.
Privatized. Yeah.
That's right.
They're not run by the government anymore. They're run by banks.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know that when you apply, when anybody applies for a student loan, they have to pay a fee. It's like between $80 to $100.
Yes,
so they pay this fee to apply for a student loan. But that fee doesn't guarantee you get a student loan. That's just your fee. Yeah.
Just to apply.
You have to pay for the privilege of going through the aggravation of filling out the forms online. And believe me, it's an aggravation. So you're paying people, for the privilege of being aggravated. How nice is that?
Well, I would tell you, you're speaking about Canada. My cousin in Canada, my second cousin in Canada, is just finishing up her first movie that is going to be fabulous, and it is just about that. The storyline is about how this kid is in school, and he's gotten behind in his student loan. And the loan company has come after him, but it's not a normal loan company. This loan company it's like the mafia. So they are now coming to kill him. But he's a computer expert. He's a computer expert, and what he does, he taps into their computer and wipes out the student loan.
Ha.
So now they have no proof that he even owed them. So now the guy is, he sends out, the owner of the loan company sends out a hitman after him and his girlfriend. So that's what the story is about. And she's finishing, I'm going to visit her in October, and she's doing a demonstration, she's filming right now for scenes. They're having a demonstration in Toronto right now, today, about student loans. They want to increase the student loans because some of these people are looking at what's going on in the United States. So the students and teachers and firemen and policemen are all out demonstrating today. So it's not going to go through.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, this is what happens. But here, I have no idea why they were asleep at the wheel. Seriously.
Yeah. Right.
When banks get in insidiously, right, when the banks go in and they start privatizing things and making our lives that much more difficult, you know, what we've got is we've got Republicans saying we have to let them do it because it is the free market and
okay,
it is
free market.
Job
right.
creation. It is
right.
job creation, by golly. Really?
Job creation, right. Yeah, well, what else you have going on? I know, where are we at now with this Democratic Party here in North Carolina?
Well, the State Executive Committee meeting that was scheduled for June the 17th, the day after the convention, has been canceled. It's been removed from the agenda.
Wait, canceled. Who canceled
it? Yeah, it's been canceled. Yeah, it's been canceled.
Who canceled it?
David Parker. Yeah, the chair.
And what's the grounds?
He feels that we don't need it. Since we already had one that was hastily scheduled for the Mother's Day weekend where the majority of SEC members could not show up, so they said, you know, the majority of the people that did go were proxies because people like me had other, tell you how many people could not go, real members could not go.
Yeah, I didn't go. So, I couldn't go.
Well, I know.
You could go,
but your wife would have divorced you. So
would have been, yes, that's true. That's
right.
I can't even talk about that.
I couldn't go because I was getting married. Damn.
Yeah, well, who told you to get married?
I couldn't go because I was going to Las Vegas, Dick Strong's birthday party, and, you know, I really, really fun because Senator Max Cleland was there, Randy Wallace, you know, who is the director and the person who wrote the script for Braveheart and for We Were Soldiers. He was there. He's a nice guy, really nice guy. I mean, there were some really fun people there, you know, so it's really great to kind of touch base and catch up and all this other kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm so sorry that Joe and I had said Dick Strong, you know, 3 months ago, we'll be happy to come to your birthday party. I guess we should have canceled everything, flights and wedding. And,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Everything to go to this SEC meeting. But, it's been canceled.
Here's the thing. How does he, when nothing or for the Democratic Party except his backstabbing the executive council was done, there was no business taken care of except him. So
that's
what about the business? What about the business for the state?
Well, evidently that isn't important.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's some people who disagree with that.
Well, you might want to call June Mabry and have her on your radio show and ask her why.
Well, I don't know. I was asking her for over a year already to come on my show, and she's always giving me an excuse why she can't. I don't think I asked real hard-boiled questions. I mean, I don't understand that. For a year I've been asking. For a year. And not one time. He's always said, I'll get back to you. I'm going to be busy. I don't know. I mean, how many things can you be doing?
She's washing her hair. Okay, so.
Washing her hair. Uh-huh. Now, what about this guy Tillis? What about this guy Tillis up in the state who's been up to everything, every shenanigan there can be.
Well,
what about the vote down there in Florida that seems like Tillis seems he wants to latch on to, where they the federal government has now told Rick Scott, you're under the Voting Rights Act. And
that's
90 days out, you can't purge anybody.
That's right.
So now, what? Because I know they want to do that here in North Carolina.
Yes, they do. Remember, Karl Rove said after 2008, what Karl Rove said was, all we need to do, meaning the Republicans, all we need to do is prevent 4% of African Americans from voting.
Right.
That's what they said. So this is what they're doing. They're purging the rolls to get rid of that 4%. Because if they can prevent 4% of African Americans from voting, they, the Republicans, win the election, and they have a permanent Republican majority. Now,
right.
I don't know if that scares anybody as much as it scares me, but it ought to. It ought to scare y'all. It ought to scare the bejesus out of y'all.
Hey.
It ought to scare you enough that you go drag your dying next-door neighbor to the polls.
I'm telling you.
Put him in an ambulance and take his butt to the polls.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm serious.
Make sure that doesn't happen in North Carolina. What do we do?
Well, we, at this point, there's very little that we can do except protest like the son of a gun, because right now, you see, the Republicans have the majority in Raleigh, so they'll vote it through. They will vote it through, unless the Democrats find some way not to. The Democrats have been very good up in Raleigh. They've been holding firm, holding strong, holding together, saying, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do this. Okay? So the Republicans, on the other hand, have been saying, well, when you had the majority, you know, you ran roughshod, you did whatever you wanted to do. Well, that is sort of true, but what the Democrats did when they were in power in Raleigh was what everything that they did benefited North Carolina, because they voted to improve the roads, to improve the schools, to improve the university system, to improve jobs. You know, everything the Democrats did really benefited North Carolina. People looked at our educational system and they said, wow. You know, before, I went to school in Virginia, but in medical college in Virginia. But if you don't think that for one second, we looked at North Carolina all the time. They were our strongest competitors. Duke University and MCD had this little kind of a feud going. North Carolina's a best university system. So for the Republicans to say to the Democrats, well, when y'all had power, y'all did this, that, the other, well, yeah, they did. But everything they did benefited North Carolina. What Tillis and his gang are doing is not benefiting North Carolina. It is benefiting maybe 25% of the screaming radical right-wingers. Of course, all the multi-billionaires. That's who's benefiting. Unfortunately, they're able to convince the majority of North Carolinians to vote against their own best interests.
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're bringing the God, guns, and gays thing. That's why. They tie all their legislature into God, guns, and gays.
Well, I have as a matter of fact, next coming on is going to be Democracy in North Carolina, and I'm going to be asking them what they're going to be doing about getting people to register. You know, I'm saying that, you know, if you don't register and don't vote, you deserve whatever you get. And you should not be claiming, hey, I didn't know. I don't want to hear that.
That's right.
There's too many ways now in 2012 to find out what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people say, you know, as I always say, well, what's between October and December?
Yeah.
There's two things. There's
yeah.
Thanksgiving and there's Election Day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's nothing else unless it's your birthday.
Uh-huh.
And if you can't remember that, you need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, so in closing here, well, what is the main thing we have to look at between now and September, now and November?
Well, every single person has to, if we can all get 5 new people in each individual to register 5 people and make sure they get to the polls, we will win. Democrats will win, and we need to win. We need to win. If we're going to keep North Carolina on the path of advancement and on the path of being the front of education and jobs, and, you know, if we're going to do that, we need to win. Democrats need
right.
to win.
Right, right.
And that's it. We need to get Elaine Marshall reelected. We need to get Janet Cowper, Beth Woods, Walter Dalton as our governor. Heaven forbid we should lose it to Pat McCrory. We cannot have Pat McCrory in the governor's mansion. We can't.
Oh, God.
The man's a lunatic.
Yeah. And that's his good point. Listen, Linda Coleman, Linda Coleman should be calling in sometime this afternoon also. But I just need to play one other thing for you to send you off here.
Okay.
This has been Grace's Corner. And Grace, we will be talking to you next week. And
yes.
I did get the email, and I did speak to a couple of elected officials, and they are in agreement with everything.
All right. All right.
So
Thank you so much. And
I'll be getting back to you later today.
All right. I'll talk to you off the air. Bye, darling.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that was Grace Sparta. And you're listening to Talk for Grace. And we have another call. Let's see who this is. Hello there. Who's this? Hello, everyone.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, he's fine. Who's this?
Robert from Democracy, North Carolina.
Robert Dawkins from Democracy, North Carolina. I just
How
mentioned
are
your
you?
Name. Fine, doing
How
fine.
Are you?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I was
doing
just
fine.
Listening. I was just listening. She had lots of words of inspiration. She's actually getting us fired up. I know she's doing good work in Cabarrus, and I'm hoping we can replicate some of that good work here in Charlotte.
Oh, very good, very good. I have a question to ask of Democracy North Carolina and you and the rest of your people with you. What are you doing to get people registered? And I don't mean Democrats or Republicans. I mean everybody who wants to register to vote, because as far as I'm concerned, if you don't register and you don't vote, I don't care what happens to you.
Right. Okay. Well, I care about everybody. Don't make that statement. But we do want to register as many people, because our whole job at Democracy North Carolina is that everybody's voice should be heard. That's why we say we try to be an organization of the people, for the people, by the people. And the only way to take part in this system is first to be registered, because you can't take part in the electoral process until you're registered. Democracy North Carolina's commitment to voter registration, one, we have our own in-area goals set for what we as an organization will register, but our main contribution is that we're the organization that trains a lot of these other groups to do voter registration, and we've set up a lot of resources, like our Election Connection website that you can go to. Our Election Connection site is connected to our Democracy North Carolina website.
And what's that address?
ElectionConnection.com.
ElectionConnection.com. Okay, that sounds logical.
And when you get there, it will show you how to register, give you tips, give you updates on candidates. It's a very good site. As you know yourself, we do voter registration trainings for organizations all over the state. We'll be doing voter registration trainings all this summer around the state, and during election, between voter reg time and get out the vote time, we'll be doing get out the vote trainings. We're doing trainings with churches.
Well, do you have any times that you can give the audience listening? Any time?
We're setting one in Charlotte for June the 20th. And we will hopefully have the location on that. We're going to do it at a church in Charlotte, and I'm waiting to hear back on which church is going to let us do it. That's going to be on June the 20th, and I'll be more than happy to send emails to you to update you on where our vote reg trainings are. And all around the state this summer, we've got our interns who are out setting up tables and doing tablings to sign up to register people. Our focus has been that 18 to 29-year-old population. That's our main focus, and you know they turned out in droves in 2010, and then
right.
The numbers fell off dramatically in 2008. And in 2010, the numbers
fell off
dramatically. So we have a big commitment to registering that 18 to 29-year-old demographic, and we're also concerned about senior citizens that are living in senior citizen facilities. We want to go by and we want to make sure that they have a current voter registration, that they're registered at the facility that they're living in. So those are going to be our two target areas for doing voter registration this year, along with, of course, our separate Souls to the Polls campaign, where we're working with the churches to make sure that all of the churches, members of their congregations are registered.
Well, you see, now let me ask you a question. Have you in a lot of these states where we have Republican governors that they're trying to pass all these roadblocks?
Yes.
In Florida, the women's group that always set up registration and held all the debates. What was the name of the group?
Is it the League of Women Voters?
League of Women Voters, right? All those places, they stopped doing it because it's just like this woman, Jill, I can't remember her last name, but she is proposed to be brought up on charges. She's a high school teacher in Florida, and for years she has been registering her kids in her civics class, showing them how to register at 18 year olds, and got them registered when she was out on maternity leave. She came back and she got her class registered, and she was unaware that Rick Scott, the Republican beanhead in Florida, now passed a law where you could not register anybody unless you were licensed by the state.
Now they brought her up on charges.
She faces jail time, and now Bill Nelson, Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, stepped in and asked him, what the heck is he doing? So now the federal government, the Justice Department came in, and the Justice Department has told Rick Scott to cease and desist. Because, they overplayed their hand. What they did was they were purging people off the rolls, but you can't do that 90 days before an election.
Exactly. You know, though, Mike, when we're looking at it, Florida's not the only state that there's a lot of things that have been put forward to try to disenfranchise voters. Here in North Carolina, besides for the photo ID bill, House Bill 351, that bill will disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters. That's one. Yeah. Secondly, mm-hmm. Early voting has been quite successful in North Carolina, and the conservative administration now is trying to cut the days down by a week, and we understand
right.
why they're trying to do it. That's two. Another thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to get rid of Sunday voting. In 2010,
right.
37,000 people voted on Sunday in North Carolina. So we can look at all of this and say it's a definite plan, and we know why
right.
there's the plan, but Florida's not the only one, and I've got my two interns who I want to talk to you some about some of this disenfranchisement.
All right.
Before you
go there, I have a caller that might want to ask you a question. Hold on a minute. Let's see who this is
okay.
on the line here. Hello, who's this?
This is Reese Hopkins from Reese on the Radio.
How you doing, Reese? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Let me first state, because I know it's important to your audience, that I mention this, because I know it's important to the Democratic base that we talk about race. So I'm an African-American conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So let me make that abundantly clear.
That's all right.
I'm glad that it's all right. Let me first say that there's been a lot of argument about the voter ID law
mm-hmm.
and about the disenfranchisement. These comments that are being made by people like Eric Holder, these
mm-hmm.
comments that are being made by Reverend Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and those of the like, who talk about voter ID laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown very tired of the lies. And I'm not going to use political correctness here. I'm not going to say the disingenuous, the flat-out lie about voter ID laws. Everyone who has been a proponent of voter ID has said, we will do everything to make sure that it is free for people to get voter ID. We're not going to make anybody pay a penance, pay a tax, go out there and you get your ID for free. If we have to, we'll bus the disenfranchised down there to get their ID so that they are legitimate voters in the process. And yet it is still being described as an association with Jim Crow, a discrimination of some sort within the Democratic Party. People like yourselves, people who support you and your cause. And I'm angered by this, because what I believe in is truth. And truth to power. There is no justice without truth. We believe in truth, justice, and the American way. We don't get the justice without truth. My question to you is this. Why are you scaring your African-American listeners and your African-American constituents with lies?
In what respect? Which lie?
In suggesting, that voter ID laws is some sort of disenfranchisement to minorities. Why are you suggesting
okay.
that when every
right.
person who's proposed them has said that we will make it easy for
okay.
every person to get a voter ID law? Why are you not talking about that?
All right. Which
so Michael,
which
can
place,
I, Michael, can, Michael.
One minute, Robert. Which person or which state or which governor or administration Republican that's proposed these ID laws has said they would make it easier, and how did they say they would make it easier?
Actually, it is the platform of the Republican Party to make voter
okay.
ID eligible or accessible to every legitimate person who can vote in a state and or national election. It is,
okay,
in fact, it's been proposed by every Republican asked, and they have all answered the same thing. What we don't want is illegal aliens, illegal people being a part of voter registration and or elections on a public on a state or national level.
No, you're absolutely correct. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But proposed is not passed. And I again,
no, no, no.
Wait.
Before you say that, proposed, you're right, is one thing. But who is the opposition? The opposition are liberals and Democrats who say, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the Democratic National Committee, who says that voter ID laws is a revert back to Jim Crow laws, which is a lie.
Okay.
It always has
okay.
been. It always will be a lie. So the only opposition to the proposal by Republicans to make sure that everyone is freely, that means no expense, freely given a voter ID. No one is disenfranchised. We are going to give you a free ID. It's not like you paying $55 to get a driver's license. This is you getting a free ID. You come in,
okay.
you prove who you are, you get a voter registration, and you are legitimately a voter as a citizen of the United States. The only person
okay.
opposing that are liberals and Democrats.
Yes. No. Yeah. Listen, I understand. I agree with you. But the thing is that in Texas, they have not done that. In Texas, they've closed over 100. Well, not 100. 10. I shouldn't say 100. 10 motor vehicle places to get a registration, and you got to go travel 50 miles to get a can of milk in Texas. So are you telling me that Texas is going to? Wait a minute. I'll let you talk. Wait a minute. In Texas, they're going to send buses out to the rural communities and pick up these people who are 50 miles to the nearest motor vehicle place to register to vote? They
have
not said that.
No. That's not true. You do
that
not have to register. No, it's not true. You do not have to register to the Department of Motor Vehicles. You do not.
Well, where do you register
in Texas,
at?
That's not true. You do
that
not
That is
have
true.
To. No, it is not.
Where
no,
do you vote at? Where do you vote at?
No. Where do you vote is separate from getting a voter ID.
Oh, no. Where is the motor? I understand that. But you have to get you have to register. Where do you register at?
Wait. You can't vote. Wait. You can't register by mail?
Yes, you can register by mail.
Okay, so
but that's
are you talking about driving 50 miles? You can register
because
by mail.
Well, you can register, but that don't mean you can vote.
No,
Michael,
yes.
When y'all get through arguing for a second, can I chime in a couple of points?
It's a discussion.
Well, I'm asking, yes, it is a discussion. But you can't vote. A lot of people register and never vote.
Well, that's on the people who do not vote. That is
right,
on the people who do
yes,
not vote.
You're right, but not when you have to travel 50 miles to cast your vote.
Well, hold on. That, first of all, what you're arguing about is what you're arguing about is the convenience of voting. If people care about their vote, if they believe that their vote should be counted, if they want to be a part of the process, then you must make yourself available to be a part of the process. We do not We do not believe in any way whatsoever as American people that voting is a matter of convenience. It never has been. It never will be.
Yes, it has been. It's been since I've been born.
Maybe since
I don't know where you live.
Maybe since you've been born. But I understand one thing about my history, sir. And what I know about the history is that I remember, okay, in following my history, that there was a Klan in the South, the Ku Klux Klan, that did everything in its power to destroy the rights of Republicans, black Republicans, to vote in general elections. Do you know that, sir?
That's fine.
You know,
yes, I do.
The Ku Klux Klan, the arm of the Democratic Party,
Okay,
not
but
that,
listen,
that
let's don't go off the tangent now. We're talking about voting. When Texas closed up 10 voting places in one locale, so now people have to travel 50 miles, what do you call that?
Well, wait a minute. Why did they close that? What is the reason for
them closing? Why they close it? Now, listen, this for the same reason we're having this conversation.
Michael,
so they
Michael is there any way, Michael, that I can address some of his issues?
Yes.
Well, no.
Yes,
here's
Robert.
My question.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm going to let you answer. Just a minute. Hold on a minute. I want Robert Dawkins, who's the head of Democracy North Carolina in the district here, to pick it up from me. Now, go ahead with your question you were going to ask.
My question is how are they How
Robin,
are they
hold on just a minute.
Local elections?
Hold on a minute, Robin. Yeah, go ahead.
How are they registering in their local elections if they have to travel 50 miles? They're traveling 50 miles out of their
they
own
They don't
district?
Anymore. They don't anymore.
I don't
they
believe
can't
that.
Anymore.
There's no proof.
Well,
that.
Okay, go ahead, Robin. Ask the question.
Well, I think I'm trying to get to the heart of what he was saying, and one of the things that he was asking was, why are we out here and we're trying to scare the African-American community about the voter rights, about the photo ID laws that the Republican governors have all said and they are going to try to make fair? It comes from where we live, and we live in the South, where there's been a historical problem between what people say and what people actually do. And that's what it's grounded in, and we've got that as a history. So that's why we would be upset with it, because people will say, especially in Southern things, that I'm going to give you fair and equal schools. They might be separate, but they're going to be equal, and that didn't get pulled off. That never happened. My grandmother's school was not the same as other people's school, even though the governor of South Carolina said it was fair. That's where it's grounded. And then when he sits and he says that the reason that the law is being enacted is to make sure that undocumented and illegal people don't vote, well, they can go and there's nobody doing anything about the absentee voting situation, so they can go and vote absentee. So why would you just put a photo ID on in-person voting but not put it on absentee voting? So the only thing that I could see that they would be trying to do is to affect the turnout of African-American voters, voters that are 18 to 29-year-olds. Those are the communities that we see and we really do have to worry about. So
wait,
the point is, we're going to make it.
Hold on. I have to ask
you
about
the. You just talked for about 15 minutes. All I'm asking for is 30 more seconds. Can I bring this
point
home?
Hold on a minute. Go ahead.
My point that I'm bringing home is I worry about every vote. You put that photo ID bill into effect. Tell me how, if I get up the morning of election day and I lose my wallet, how am I going to vote?
Well, wait a minute. If let me respond.
No. Let him answer that for me. If I lose my wallet on the way to go vote, how am I going to go vote?
This is how I would counter what it is that you just said. Okay? I'm going to counter this. Okay? If you want to talk about voter fraud and what
you're talking voter fraud. I'm talking voter access.
I'm talking voter fraud for a reason, because you guys are on the show talking about voter ID laws and how they're discriminatory. So listen to what it is that I'm going to say to you. It's very simple. When we had the defunding of groups like ACORN in 2009, the defunding of ACORN happened because of voter ID fraud. And in an election that Barack Obama won, which was an overwhelming response as far as voters were concerned, came from the young African Americans, minorities. Those things played a key role in Barack Obama's win in 2008. Yet, voter fraud from groups like ACORN, who had people registered under the name of Mickey Mouse, or let's talk about how the entire front.
I got to stop you right here. Now, they know that's absolute bull. Don't even go. Listen, if you're going to talk about Mickey Mouse voting, we need to end this conversation. You know darn well Mickey Mouse ain't voted nowhere. Now, stop that nonsense. No. You stop it. No, I am not going to stop. You stop it. Say that did not happen, or we are going to be finished with this conversation. You don't even go there and say Mickey Mouse voted.
Are you telling me that Mickey Mouse was not a registered?
No, he did not. And show me. I want to see it physically in a piece of paper. Email it to me. I will give you my email address. Email that to me.
I will email you all the information. If you have to give me 1 second to finish.
Yes.
Okay? The entire starting line of the Dallas Cowboys, the football team, was registered to vote in Nevada, in a state they don't even play in. This was all a product of ACORN's registration. This is the reason why they've been defunded.
Wait a minute.
But Michael, he's still not talking about voter fraud would mean that somebody actually voted Voter fraud would mean somebody voted that didn't have the right to vote. Mickey Mouse didn't vote. Even if somebody turned in a card for Mickey Mouse to vote, Mickey Mouse didn't vote. And if Mickey Mouse voted and it counted, that should be a shame on the Board of Elections.
Absolutely. Of course it is. Of course it's a shame on the Board of Elections. What we're talking about is voter fraud on all levels, in primaries, in registration. Acorn was busted for doing this. Okay?
That is an outright lie, what he just said. That is an outright lie.
It's not an outright lie.
It was proven. It was proven. Breitbart and his minions did that. See, stop that, please. You said a fallacy when you said Mickey Mouse voted. He did not vote.
That's not what he said. He never said that. First of all, it wasn't Andrew Breitbart. It came from a gentleman by the name of George O'Keefe. Hold on. It came from a gentleman known as George O'Keefe from Project Veritas. George O'Keefe just recently went and got a ballot during a primary for Eric Holder. He had a white man go in and get the Attorney General's ballot in Washington, D.C. That would have been a violation of the law.
He was allowed
to get Eric Holder's ballot.
Did he vote?
No, but he was
End
allowed
story.
To get
End.
It.
No, there is no,
no.
no voter fraud.
You're clearly
None.
Missing the point.
You're talking about registration is a different story.
No, but my point is that if a person can walk in, we're talking about voter fraud. That's the reason why we want voter ID.
That's the reason why
we want voter ID is because of voter fraud. Not just in general elections,
propaganda. That is propaganda. There has been no voter fraud.
It's not.
There has been 6 cases in the last 10 years that have been prosecuted for voter fraud.
It doesn't matter whether or not there have been cases. It's a question of whether or not it has happened. And George O'Keefe has proven
You're telling me that 10 cases out of 300 million is a good test?
Actually, 300 million people do not vote, sir.
I'm talking about 10 years.
I can say that in North Carolina.
Come on, give me a break here.
Are you telling me?
Go ahead.
You can be upset about it, but the facts are
I'm not upset about it. It's childish. I wouldn't be upset with my
childish.
Child if my child said that. What
I cannot understand from liberals is this.
Yes.
Is that here it is that I give you an opportunity. You can argue with me about what it is that you do or do not believe. But what I ask most people to do is that don't take my word for it. Just look at the
facts.
I'm
not taking your word for it because I know better.
Listen, I refuse to sit up here and try to convince you.
I don't want you to convince me. I just want you to state your case.
No, I'm stating the facts. And what I'm asking you to do is that if you were going to make any proclamation about voter ID that you disagree with, okay, cut both angles. In other words, be fair about your reporting.
Listen.
What it is that you're stating, I've listened to your show so far. I've listened to your show. I'm not going to use the word propaganda. I'm going to use this, is that it's slanted and it's untrue because your facts do not in any way support the facts. Your facts don't support the facts.
Michael, will he argue with the fact that the State Board of Elections says that out of 1 million votes cast, there was only five cases of fraud? And that's the State Board of Elections.
That does not mean that it doesn't go on. What about the case in Pulse that just came out recently where 5 Democratic operatives were arrested and charged with voter fraud?
That was the Democrat. Those were Republicans.
In New York. This is upstate New York.
Yes, probably in a Republican. Just
5 people arrested in the Democratic Party.
Michael, are we going to be able to talk photo ID. Because what he's talking about is we're going all over the point.
Right.
He wanted
right.
to know, and his point was, why are we telling African Americans
right.
to be
right.
scared of photo ID? And I'm telling you that it is the same thing as separate but equal. There's
of
nothing
course.
In
of
this. There's nothing
and,
in this that is made from goodwill. And I am
and,
telling him that you cannot have photo ID and have access for everybody to vote. If I
absolutely.
Lose my wallet on the way to the vote, my right
can't
to
vote,
vote
right.
is constitutionally protected. And if I
that's
do
right.
not have that ID, I still should be able to vote. And if he
we
is that big and he is a Republican and he's always
though.
Talking about
listen,
protecting
listen.
Protecting rights, protect everybody's rights.
Well, gentlemen, we
and,
have
and,
an ID for everything,
well, but,
gentlemen.
But let me tell you, so let me answer that. We don't need an ID to vote. You need an ID to get on a plane because you know why? Because you don't have the right to get on a plane. The Constitution says you have a right.
It's not
inalienable,
yeah.
No,
that
you're
is
missing the point about
right.
the Constitution.
You don't have the right
no.
to drive a car. You don't have the right to go into an airline airport and get on an airplane. You don't have the right to ride on the railroad. You need photo ID.
You're arguing
no
the word
right.
privilege, and you're missing the word privilege, sir. You are missing the word
privilege.
Privilege. You're missing it. Right, voting is not a right. It is a privilege.
Yes,
where
does it say that in the Constitution? Where
no,
does it say
no,
that
no.
in the Constitution?
I guess it could say it's a privilege because it's only guaranteed to citizens.
Let me explain to you what the privilege is, okay?
Yes.
All right? Voting is a privilege. I understand you are saying the right to vote. You're using every documented citizen has the right to vote.
That's
but
correct.
Voting is
right.
privilege. And when I say that to you is what it is, first of all, what you are voting for, what you are voting for is based upon what? Is based upon what it is that you need. In other words, no taxation without representation. Okay? You must vote in order to be represented. And your vote counts based upon your representation. But the
unless you live in Florida
is,
in 2004, then your vote didn't count when they threw out 7,000 votes.
You mean in 2000? You mean in 2000?
Or 2000.
You're talking about 2000. Because in 2000, the Florida vote, here's my argument about the 2000 vote. This is what many liberals bring up. In 2000, if the vote was robbed from Al Gore in 2000, why wasn't 2004 a loss for George W. Bush? You know it
because
wasn't,
they
right?
did it again. They did it
no.
again in 2004.
There
were 7,000 votes
wrong.
That were not 7,000 votes that were not counted.
The state
7,000.
2004 was Ohio.
He only won by 545 votes.
Sir,
he only won by 545 votes in Florida.
Look at the facts. In 2004, George W. Bush against John Kerry. The vote of contention was in the state of Ohio in 2004. That
Florida.
Was the state. No, Florida was in 2000. George W. Bush won Florida in 2004. Look it up again. That's a fact.
All right, so 2000.
Okay, in 2000,
right.
the argument was, and that was why it went to the Supreme Court.
Went to the Supreme Court because the Republicans rigged it to go to the Supreme Court.
Well, wait a minute. That would mean that Jeb Bush rigged it in 2004 and he wasn't even there.
Yes. Well, yes, because the Secretary of State in Ohio was the George Bush man on the ground there, and he rigged the election there.
What? But so
why?
What?
To win?
So what? So what? He was. So what that he was a Bush supporter? Are you telling me that if he had supported John Kerry, that it only been legitimate?
No.
It's only legitimate if he supports a Democrat?
He was the Secretary of State, and he was the one that was in charge of the vote.
Does that mean that just because he supported a conservative means that he's not legitimate?
No, that did not mean that.
Well, tell me what he did that was illegal.
What
did he do?
And
what
he did was...
What did he do that was illegal?
The vote count. He rigged the vote and counted those votes that they wanted and left others out.
Has there ever been any evidence to support that, sir? ever been in the United States?
There was, well, that's the history of the last.
I would always suggest, sir, let me explain something to you. As far as somebody who's gone through the legal system, I am innocent until proven guilty. You can make assertions all day about whether
unless you're Trayvon Martin, then you're not innocent until proven anything.
That's not true.
So we could go along with that all the time. I mean, you know, they're turning around that Trayvon Martin was the perpetrator in his case. So that's another story.
It's another story, and you're wrong there too.
That's wonderful. But I need to go. I have another caller here, and it was great talking to you, Reese. And where can we hear you at?
I am on Blog Talk Radio as well. I'm on at 8 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And that's the Reese what?
Reese on the Radio right here at 8 p.m.
On the radio. You see, I gave you a good plug.
I appreciate it.
And I will. You can call back, and if I have time, I will call into you.
I hope you do. In fact, I am going to make you right now. I'm following your show, and I hope to hear from you guys soon. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
We have another caller here, and I want to see who this is. Hello there. Who's
Michael
this?
Kent.
Who's this?
Hello?
Hello. Yes? Who's this?
This is Diane Little.
Oh, hello, Diane Little.
How are you?
You're on the phone with, you're on the phone with Robert Dawkins.
I'm going to yield to Robert Dawkins and let him finish his comment, and then I'm going to go ahead and answer some of Brother Reese's allegations.
Well, I'm glad he called in. I like hearing from the other side, like hearing what they're saying. You know, to me, conservatives are not what they are today. They're real conservatives like Barry Goldwater and
John V. Lindsay.
And, Lindsay really wasn't a conservative, but
the Rockefellers, they were all GOP, but they were real conservatives.
But they weren't really conservatives. Goldwater was a conservative, and he would be turning over his grave, but the conservatives have out today, because the conservatives, a real conservative is someone who wants to conserve, does not want to regress. But that's another story. But so, Robert, tell us what you were talking about.
Thank you, Mike, for getting back to me. That was just everybody went around the world on that point to still get back that disenfranchisement exists, and that if this photo ID bill passes, it will disenfranchise many of people. We still haven't seen how the last of this bill is going to be worded, but there was wording in the bill at one time to where if you went to school at a state-funded institution, you'd be able to use your state-funded, you'd be able to use your school ID. But if you went to Johnson C. Smith or a private school, then you wouldn't be able to use your form of ID.
Yeah.
My point is, even if he's saying that these Republican governors are doing it in good faith, and that these Republican governors are making photo ID to protect people from the big bad foreign undocumented aliens that are rushing down the vote, it hasn't been proven, and what it will do is it will disenfranchise real American voters. Your point was well taken. You don't have the right to board a plane. You don't have the right to rent cars, but you do have a constitutional right to vote. And any obstacle that goes that gets mentioned is in direct violation of the Constitution. And furthermore, to reaffirm it since 2000, it's in direct violation of the Help America Vote Act, which is asking and pleading for people to have access to voting and not to make it limited. I'll give you an example, and I don't mean to go on rant, but my great-grandmother was a sharecropper, and she was never issued a Social Security card. If she was still around, how would she be able to vote?
Well, the thing is that you're absolutely correct. The thing that what they've done in Texas, I was trying to tell Mr. Reese, is that in one district alone, they closed up 10 motor vehicle places where you could. At the time in Texas, you could register and you could vote there.
So you can register by mail. That's fine. So, well, I'm not really talking about registering. I'm talking about voting.
Yeah, and when we were talking about voting, Michael, he also tried
to... Go ahead.
He tried to skirt that point, too, though, Michael, that you brought up and that I had brought up is, if you're so concerned about voter fraud, why are you not putting the same stipulations on absentee voting?
Absolutely correct. I mean, people vote absentee. Well, you know, the thing is that they say they don't even count absentee votes unless it's close.
No, that's not true. Every vote has
of course,
to be even.
But you see, yes, you're absolutely correct. But are we sure of that? This is the question I'm asking. I'm not saying that is absolutely true. I don't know. But I believe the vote does count. But there are so many people who I've spoken to who won't go to early vote, African-American, elderly, because they're afraid that their vote won't count if they go early.
Yes, and I know
and
you have Miss Little.
And
I know you have Miss Little on the line, and Miss Little's worked hard out there in the field with us in Democracy North Carolina and other groups trying to get the senior citizens to let them know that all of their votes are counted. In fact, you can go every day and see the totals during early vote of how many people have voted. And we have gone and sat down in the Board of Elections and watched them open up the provisional ballots and verify one that the person is, you know, who they say they are and in the right precinct to vote, and have sat there and actually watched them count. And I've even seen it done on elections where it was already where the amount of provisional ballots couldn't change the election results. And I've seen Michael Dickerson over the board here had his staff open and count each one of the votes. So I've actually seen it, and I'm sure if Miss Little could chime in, too, she's actually seen that happen.
You know, but, you know, that information does not get to a lot of the churches. It doesn't get a lot. It doesn't get out to the people in the nursing homes, because these elderly people still believe in their hearts they've got to go election day. They've got to go election day because their vote won't count.
And the thing that we're shooting for, Michael, is access. If a senior citizen does not want to go and vote early, they don't have to go and vote early.
No,
they
can
vote on election day, but we
absolutely
want the process and everything to be fair. And if they want to take part in voting early, we'd be more than happy for them, too. The whole thing is making sure the process is fair.
There is one thing, though, and I've seen that since I've been down here. If it's cloudy outside, people aren't going to go vote. And I know when I was in New York, when I was in New York, we used to go vote when it was 7 inches of snow on the ground. We'd go out and vote.
Well,
but
Michael,
here,
there's a
if it rains or it's cold, blah, no, can't go vote. It's cold outside. I mean,
well, there's
it
a really
so
pressing,
ludicrous.
There's a really pressing issue. Michael, that is gonna help. That's gonna really hurt this upcoming election, and that is the freezing of the Help America Vote Act funds that are already deposited in the General Assembly account, but can't be used until the Republicans release $60,000 that they had to raise to complete their match, and it's appalling. So
they're not raising.
So here's how it works. After the debacle that the black conservative guy was talking about in Florida, the federal government passed the Help America Vote Act. What the Help America Vote Act did was it gave states money to make sure that they had properly trained poll workers, that they had money for things like early voting, and most importantly, they had money for the maintenance of their machines. So the only stipulation was so that the federal government didn't become stuck with having to pay the whole bill for every state is that every state had to fund a matching amount of money that's called, not matching meaning that they had to raise $4 million, it's called a maintenance of effort fee. The maintenance of effort fee meant that the state of North Carolina would have to contribute for its elections from the General Assembly the same amount of money that it contributed in 2002. For that, they would get $4 million to use. What the conservatives did this time was they funded all but $60,000 of the 2002 level. By that happening, that means that since it wasn't at the 2002 level, that North Carolina doesn't get at $4 million that would have gotten from the Help America Vote Act money.
Why did they fund it at all? Because they knew they weren't going to fund the whole thing.
Well, I'm not Tom Tillis. That's another question you can call and ask him. But I can say this. You got all the way to $60,000, $66,000, something like that, but you couldn't come up with the rest. So that seems like
Tillis could take that out of his pocket. Tillis could take that out of his pocket.
But here's the direct impact on the state for people like me and Miss Little that are out here working and trying to make sure that we get people to go and vote, get people to go and vote early and do that type of thing. The money that each county has to pay for their machine maintenance, their voter machines, before the voter machines can be used, they have to be tested. And that testing has to be done by the specific vendor. And the vendor charges per machine. For Mecklenburg County, since we have so many machines, that fee for just getting the machines ready, making sure that the machines are operational and up to snuff to run, is going to be over $300,000 that before Mecklenburg County took out of the HAVA money. Now, all of a sudden, that money's not going to exist. If the state board, if the board can't come up with it, they've got to ask the county for it. So, in other words, this is bigger than a Democrat and Republican issue. Without that $4 million, it's going to make it very hard on the counties to make sure that they have their machines, one, up and ready to go. Two, that they have trained poll workers because they could use that money to pay for training. And three, that they could use that money to open early vote sites. And the only reason that I can see that Tom Tillis's General Assembly would not want this done is because they don't want certain people to vote. And it goes back again to the conservative brother that was calling saying, well, they tell me that they're out here working and they're going to make sure that it's accessible. Well, here's a prime example of how they're making sure that it's not going to be accessible. And you want me to trust you on photo ID?
Right. Well, you know, here's the other thing that's so funny. Listen, I've been in electronics for a long time. These are electronic machines. And though you could take every one of those electronic machines and send them a signal and see which one fails, bingo, 1, 2, 3. $300,000 is a bunch of garbage. That's nothing. It don't cost $300,000 to test those machines. Whoever bought it, the contract, they're screwing the state.
Here's the issue on that, Mike. Since these machines are electronic and they've got to be, the reason that they worded it that way on all these different states, the vendor has to come themselves and test the machines. The money or pay for the testing of the machines. If the machines fail, the insurance company, the vending company is obligated by law to pay for the re-election that would have to result. That's why this is something that just can't be done, you know, through happenstance or maybe a secondary vendor. So those vendors
that's not what I meant. I meant that with an electronic machine, you test it electronically, and you can test all those modules at one time. Please, I cannot believe that.
Well, maybe that's what. And maybe they can. I'm not, you know, the electronics type person, but I do know how the law is written, and it's not a problem because the funds are sitting there to cover it, but the conservatives are making sure that the money's not available to you.
Okay.
And that is the problem.
Well, that is that's another problem, but the mere fact that you, just like that person down there in Florida who came from New York and retired in Florida, was there 43 years, is a World War II Bronze Star Medal winner, and he has been voting there for 43 years, was purged from the voting because he was said that he is possibly not an American citizen.
Right, and Michael,
because
I would love to.
Because he had a Spanish speaking last name, even though he's Italian.
And Michael, I would love to stay on. I'm sorry that we got sidetracked by intern meeting. But I do want to say, you know, I want you to keep up spreading the word, asking people to call the General Assembly, one, and ask them to release the money for Help America Vote Act. And two, this fight for photo ID isn't over. And we need to keep pressure on by asking people to write letters to the editor, going out and keeping the pressure on, because the Republicans, if they could get four Democrats, and there's four what we call blue dog Democrats in the eastern part of the state, if they were to get four of them to side with them, they can overturn the governor's veto on photo ID, and that will be bad.
One of the things is that the states, these southern states that are, that, and well, not just southern states, a couple of western states that have bill for photo ID and for purging the voter rolls are under the Voting Rights Act, and they're going to be rejected by the Justice Department. So it ain't going to happen.
Well, and
so
and
it ain't
going to
happen in Florida, and it ain't going to happen in Pennsylvania.
Right, and I can't say what will and won't happen, but I know that is the law. We know right now that if for some reason the governor's veto was overturned and photo ID was implemented, that one, the Justice Department would have to look at it the same way they did South Carolina, same way that they did in Florida, and then if that didn't work, we could still tie it up in court. But the whole point is we shouldn't have to go through all of this in a modern in the generation we're living in. I wish I had more time, and I didn't know that Miss Little was coming on after me. I wish I had time to sit and listen to Miss Little.
The two people that are working for you, Ziana, is that her name, and Stefan, we need to have them on because you took up all their time.
You going back and forth, and it was good conversation with the conservative. And I took his blog spot address down. I'm going to follow his show,
good.
Too. Thank you for letting me be on.
All right.
And I hope I can, if your show's archived, I'll pick it up so I can listen to
it. It'll be archived, but next Thursday, I will be gone. I'll be playing some archive shows from the 6th to the 11th. So, I'll be in New York.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael, for letting us be on.
No problem. Talk to you. Diane? Hello, Diane? Hello? Diane, where are you? Let me see what happened here. Where is Diane at? And Diane, okay, you're not up on the line. Okay. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I have somebody else on the other phone, unless that's him, he's still there. Hello, who else on the line?
Hello? This is Robert. I'm getting off the line now. I'm Miss Little. Hope you're doing well. Talk to y'all
you
later.
You are too, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay,
Michael?
He's gone. So, Diane, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. The sun is coming in and out. It's getting cloudy, raining, thunderstorms, and back up to nice, and then it goes cloudy and raining, thunderstorms again.
Well, I tell you, I called only because of Brother Reese's allegations, and even though he was dead wrong, who would know that unless there's some facts to back it up? You know, he sounded so upset, and he's foaming at the mouth because he's bought into the message.
I'm waiting to get his email that he said he promised he's going to send me of the proof that I was asking for. I will contact him.
Yeah, he's bought into the bullet points of the Republican Party's message, but he doesn't know the facts. Number one, let me start with the fact that it's not just African Americans who are against this poll tax. And this is
absolutely
a fight that I never thought that I would have to fight my great-grandmother's battles again, but that's what I'm doing. Let me start with Acorn. First of all, Acorn received all that negative publicity in 2009 because of the publication of those videos which later were found to be partly falsified and edited.
Right.
Okay. Then right after
As Mr. Reese corrected me, it was O'Keefe. It wasn't Breitbart, but
It was James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles.
Yep.
And that went viral and nationwide, and that gave the Republicans something to do because they weren't governing. As a result of that, there was a lot of legislative amendments in the State House, the United States House and the state, prohibiting government funding of that group. Now, later on, you have to understand that the Attorney General released a report in 2009 in Cliff Acorn, but because of because of the legislation and because of the negative publicity that they received, despite the fact that they were cleared, the group closed its doors and its chapters in 2010. That's number one. They were sought after. They were killed by the Republican Party. And we allowed them. The other thing I want to talk about is that the case that he's talking about, he misrepresented the New York case. That New York voter fraud case is a case concerning fraudulent attempts to get Democratic candidates on the ballot. It has
nothing to do with voter fraud.
Again, I'll say it. It has nothing to do with voter fraud. It has to do with city councilmen who's trying to get Democrats on a ballot. That's number two, because we have to understand that it's easy to hear bad things and conclude bad things about people, and that is not what it's about. Again, Brother Reese said that he's tired and he's tired of the lies, and all I have to say to him is that come on home, Brother, we'll accept you. We got a big tent. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is that the Republicans seem to be creating a problem that does not exist. First of all, this voter ID will cost the state money, and I don't like the idea of spending money needlessly. The other part is that in some states you have to have a birth certificate. In some states that costs between $15 and $25. So you
now
are
you have to have a long form or a live birth certificate.
Exactly, and that costs money. In New York, I got mine so I could do my passport again, and it cost me with shipping and everything almost $30 to do this to get it right away. And who's going to have that kind of money to do that? Say I'm a single mom with a son who's 18 who wants to vote. We're going to both have to incur that particular amount. Am I going to put food on the table for $50 or $60, or am I going to get my voter ID? The vote means so much more because it allows me, if I vote for the right persons, to continually put food on the table. But I contend that people are going to go in their pockets and say, I can't do this. Students who are independent students who have been who are on their own, they may not choose to do so. So Reese needs to understand that just because he brought into that hype, he can't possibly be looking at the same world that we're looking at, because it's going to cost.
Well, you know, the thing is that Mr. Reese also said was that the proposal in the Republican platform was to get everybody free ID cards. Well, that is wonderful. In there, you know how many things are in the proposed platform of both the Democrat and Republican Party that never see the light of day?
And
there's nowhere, not one of these governors. Not one of these governors who wants to have this voter ID has said it would be free. And that was something else I asked him to do. I want him to show me one of these governors that said it would be free. And, you know, if it's going to be free, then what they need to do is these people need to be able to send in the information to the state and send in a copy of their birth certificate, and then have them send them a free voter ID. Now, they need an ID picture, right? So then they should be able to take a picture, go to their local motor vehicle. Oh, I forgot. They closed all the local motor vehicles. So now they have to travel 50 miles to get a picture taken at a motor vehicle. I guess it doesn't cost any money because they're going by horse. Yes.
Well,
it's going
I
to cost
that...
something to put in the car. To go
I think that...
back and forth. That's 100 miles to spend to get a free ID, as they said, to get a free ID. Oh, but you
yeah,
mean it's
ID
not
is
free?
Not free. It's not free.
Of course it's not free. Not one of these governors. Not one of them who wants a photo ID has said it would be free. Now, it's in the platform of the Republican Party for it to be free. But are they paying attention to the, are they paying attention to the platform? No, they are not. And I want
send Michael
to send
you
an email where it says that, where these Republican governors have said they would furnish these for free. I need to see that. Mr. Reese, if you're listening, please send that to me. Okay,
even
go
if
ahead,
they're
Diane.
Free, even if they're free, I purport that what will happen is if you don't have, because you have to have ID to get ID. You can't just walk in and say I'm me and they
absolutely.
Give you a state ID. So my point is that I spent almost $50 to get my birth certificate, a copy of my birth certificate for my passport. Who was going to be able to do that? And certainly to get a birth certificate and to pay that kind of money, a family that is under some sort of economic repression is not going to be able to do it. And
right.
and again, I stipulate with the fact that you can find no voter fraud to match the number of people who are for voter IDs. You can't even find. I can count how many voter fraud ID type things that have happened in this country on two
right.
hands.
Well,
I think that they're creating a problem that doesn't exist.
Well, listen, why would anybody? I mean, this country don't vote it as it is. It's not like Iraq where they're being bombed and being shot at and blown up and they go get a purple finger. People in this country don't vote at all. I mean, what are they, less than 30% vote? 40% vote? So, I mean, why would someone who is illegal, go out, who's hiding from everybody, why would they go to the local voter poll and vote, put their name down as Michael Lawson and vote? I mean, what are they going to gain out of that vote? They're not gaining anything out of it. Because that person may not win. And then where are they at? Now everybody knows who they are, what they look like. I mean, this doesn't make any sense on the top of it all. So no one who's illegal is going to go take the chance and sign their name to any document.
Right.
Now, Mr. Reese was talking about registration. I don't give a darn about registration. Because you can register, as he said, Mickey Mouse. Well, I don't even believe that. Unless they send in the form in the mail. Nobody
right.
registers in front of somebody says, I'm Mickey Mouse.
Please, exactly.
I mean, that's so stupid to even have come out of someone's mouth. That doesn't make any sense. In the mail, okay. But they don't count those people. They don't put those
no.
people's names down.
No,
but
they don't. Mickey Mouse
so
has been in many an election.
Absolutely. I mean, Mickey Mouse, they talk about him so bad. Poor Mickey Mouse. But the thing is, here we are. Registration is not voting. When it comes to voting, well, every time I go vote, they ask me what my name is. They look up my address, and I have a signature card right there, and I have to sign that signature card, and they look at that signature card and compare it to the other signature from last time. And for the time before that, it's all listed right there, and they say, okay. Now, if I'm voting for Michael Lawson, and I'm not Michael Lawson, how am I signing his name the same way? They would ask you a question. You didn't sign this the same way. That's why they compare signature cards.
I mean, this is so ludicrous to even say this. On the face of it, it's ludicrous. Nobody votes for, and when they vote, and not voting with somebody else's name. And if they voted and they weren't registered, now that has been four cases. People voted, but they weren't registered. But wait a minute, how did that happen? Because when you come in there, you have to sit down, and they ask you, are you Michael Lawson? Yes. You're not registered. You're not on our list. So how do you vote? You get a provisional ballot. That's why.
Exactly.
Because they can't find your name.
Exactly.
And then after, at the end of the vote, they'll check the provisional ballot against the people who are on the voter registration roll. And if your name is not there, your ballot is kicked out.
Exactly.
So this is
exactly.
ludicrous. What they're saying is an outright lie. It
right.
Does
they're lying.
Not happen.
They're lying because
no
they know
people.
It's political.
That's right.
Political.
There are no people that have voted. They can't prove it. It's always something to do with someone voted provisionally, and they weren't registered, or they didn't live long enough in the county or the city where they're at. That's what happens. Or they just weren't registered, period. Now, that's not really voter fraud, because most people don't even know what it is to vote in this country. They half the time don't even know they got to register before they vote. But that should not determine whether or not you should be allowed to vote. It is in our Constitution that every citizen should be allowed to vote. And determining whether or not you are a citizen is proven by whether or not you have been registered before. And the man in Florida has been registered for 43 years, and he was kicked out because he needs to prove it now that his Medal of Honor wasn't given to him by Walmart. The woman who also in the same state of Florida, who's voted there the last 18 years, was kicked off. Gee, both their last names were, they were actually Italian, but I guess they were told, well, if they have a Spanish-sounding name, kick them off. It was 186,000 names that were purged in Florida. In the last week, it was another 53,000. And that just set, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's why a letter, which I need to, a short letter, which I need to read to you, that was sent to this was sent to the Honorable Ken Detzner, Florida Secretary of State, Florida Department of State. And it says, Dear Secretary Detzner, this refers to certain new procedures that the state of Florida has recently implemented to attempt to verify the eligibility of registered voters. Specifically, we understand that the Florida Secretary of State is working in coordination with the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicle to identify registered voters for possible removal from the Florida voter registration system. Based on recent news reports, published comments by the state and local officials, and our review of the Florida Department of State training presentation, it appears that Florida is seeking to verify voter registration records against databases maintained by the Department of, DHSMB, that's the Motor Vehicle Department, as well as possibly other agencies for the purposes of identifying potentially ineligible voters based on citizenship, and to distribute the results of this matching process to county supervisors of elections for further actions, including possible removal of registered voters from their voter rolls. News reports and other information, including a press release from your office, indicates that this procedure has been initiated and is ongoing. The practice described above appears to be different from the benchmark practices currently in force or in effect in five covered counties in Florida, subject to the requirements of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Our records do not reflect that these changes affecting voting have been submitted to the United States District Court for the District of Columbia for judicial review
or to the Attorney General for administrative review as required by Section 5. Accordingly, it is necessary that they either be brought before the court or submitted to the Attorney General for determination that they neither have the purpose nor will have the effect of discriminating on the account of race, color, or membership in language minority groups under Section 5. Changes that affect voting are legally unenforceable in the five covered counties unless and until the requested determination under the Section 5 has been obtained. Clark v. Roma, you should desire to make an administrative submission of these changes under Section 5, blah, 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 in response so it may be channeled correctly. We also note that the Secretary of State of Florida as a whole, that the State of Florida as a whole is subject to the requirements of the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, Section 8. So the Justice Department let these fools of Florida just proceed with their
proceedings.
The other thing is that you cannot purge any voter from the voter rolls 90 days or less before an election.
An election, certainly.
It is
I contacted Judge Hinkle last night. He's the appeals court judge that struck down part of the voter suppression law where you have to have, if you do voter registration, if you're courageous enough to do voter registration, you can't have those voter registration forms out, and you have to have them back to the Board of Elections in 48 hours. And some of that is ridiculous. That's very difficult to do.
That was stricken down also. Right.
Right. He struck that down, but I asked him to take a second look at the rest of the suppressive bill to make sure that one man, one vote, and justice for all is practiced in Florida. Florida has such a bad reputation. And certainly this governor is using the same bullet points and going to the same meetings as Brother Reese is. And so he doesn't have a conscience about it because he feels what he's doing is right. I can't imagine how one person's vote, it's almost like the death penalty. The death penalty is fine as long as everybody's guilty. And this particular situation, these voter suppressive laws are fine as long as you're catching 100. But if you let one person, just one person, not be able to vote and they want to vote, that's un-American, it's unpatriotic, and that's what the Republican Party has become, an unpatriotic group of nuts. And they really need to come back because we have a country that's hurting and needs them to govern as opposed to cutting out groups of people, making life more suppressive, making life more narrow-minded so that only the ones that have money don't go to prison. Only the ones that don't have money, those people don't go to the military. I want to know why we have someone who's wants to be the commander-in-chief, the head of the free world, Mitt Romney, and none of his boys have been in the military. And he's seen to it that none of them go near the military.
Well, you know, listen, the country has become a country of give me, give me, give me, without offering anything back. And we have these chicken hawks. We have these chicken hawks in the government who never served a day in this man army, but they will send you and your children out to fight and die on another land, but they will talk big behind their margaritas and cigars and will never offer themselves up. Now, listen. I don't care about people who don't go into the military. That is their prerogative. This is a free country. And that's fine. The problem is I have a problem with those people who didn't go themselves.
I have a problem
but then want to send your children out to fight. Now, I was in Vietnam, and I'm not just saying that because I was in Vietnam. My brother was in Vietnam. I come from a family of military people. My father, my uncles, my grandfather was a colonel, lieutenant colonel. I do not consider someone who did not fight in the service as a deserter or someone who is a coward. Those people, like the Dick Cheneys, who had 7 deferments and, quote, who said they had better things to do, like Romney, who ran away, took his little butt over to France during the entire Vietnam War so his number could not be called, and we know this happened despite what he said. We're talking about the people like W-43, who was in a National Guard outfit that was never going to go.
He was a no-show.
Well, not even that. His National Guard outfit was never going to go into action overseas because his outfit that he flew in was a parts outfit for 102 Deuces, and they were written off as the aircraft. They were using here, they were being used here as ADC, the Air Defense Command, but the unit he was in was a parts command. They used them for parts because they didn't make any more Deuces.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have people like the daggone Speaker of the House. We have people, I mean, the Rush Limbaughs, the O'Reillys, the Sean Hannitys that talk war hawk, and they are utmost cowards. So, you know,
right,
the mere fact that someone didn't serve in the military is not conclusive in itself. The mere fact that they didn't even suggest, when Romney was asked about this, about his children serving in the military, he says, they're serving the government by helping me run for office. Now, that is the bunch of crap if I ever heard of my entire life.
Wow.
So, you know, there are – but I wanted to get back to this Florida vote. This federal judge who blocked this harsh and impartial Florida vote registration.
Yeah, that was John Hinkle, H-I-N-K-L-E.
He said Robert Hinkle. Tallahassee Federal Judge Robert Hinkle said in the law, he passed the he left intact much of the law, but he said that the ruling, the 48-hour deadline for the third-party groups to turn over registration forms is harsh and impractical. And the rule says impose burdensome record-keeping and reporting requirements that serve little, if any, purpose, thus rendering them unconstitutional, even if they do not violate the National Voting Rights Act. And federal judge Hinckley was a federal judge by the GOP. He's a GOP judge. Now, he said here that further, the lawsuit against the Secretary of State, Kirk Browning, last year after the law went into effect, the League said, this is the League of Women Voters, the League said that the new law forced them to stop voter registration in Florida, and they've been doing it for almost 75 years.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And it became punishable by up to $1,000 fine. Now, why would they impose a 48-hour deadline? We're not talking about 48 days. We're not talking about 48 months. We're talking about 48 hours. I mean, this is just so ludicrous. And granting the preliminary injunction, Hinckley ruled that the plaintiffs are likely to prevail on the merits of their challenge to some of the provisions of the law and the rules, and the voter registration was working well before the law was changed last year. Republican lawmakers insisted the new law was designed to discourage fraud. Everything is fraud. I mean, I'd had my coffee this morning, and I looked at it. I said, gee whiz, is this real coffee or is this fraudulent coffee? I mean, you know, this is so ludicrous now. It is becoming everything is fraud to these Republicans. It's like the lie that Goebbels said. If you repeat the lie, and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, people will believe the lie.
They believe it. And this fraud, if you connect dots, This fraud only leads to their particular message and strategy of subverting the vote. That's what it's all about. They were under the impression in 2008 that Obama may come close, but he could never win. The reality of his win has been the driving force for the Republican Party for the last 4 years. They have a strategy, and they are following it. But if we're going to be silly enough to allow them to, and they're not good at it. That's what bothers me. I could see if they would, I would respect their
gangster. But they don't care. The thing is, as I said, how do you tell when Mitt Romney is lying? He's moving his mouth. They will say, they will just lie and lie and lie. The problem is, they don't care anymore if they lie and if they get caught, because some people will not believe it that they're lying. They only need, as Robert said, 4% of a turnaround in the African American community and other communities to make a change.
To make a change.
So
that's exactly
right.
It
said now.
So the point.
This, before
the point
we leave,
that
we got
have,
a couple more minutes.
Yeah. The point we have to do. Yeah. The point we have to do is make sure that we, each one of us, make sure that we not only get out the vote, but we have to bring somebody with us. We have to make sure that each one get one. And those are my final words. And listen, Michael, thank you so much and have a great weekend.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have a one thing I wanted to read here before we leave here. This was Bill Nelson, U.S. Bill Nelson from Florida. Yesterday he met with New Smyrna Beach High School civics teacher Jill Cicerelli and explained to her how she ran afoul of this new, quote, law that Rick Scott imposed in Florida. It said she is I talked about this a little bit before, she was a civics teacher who was out on leave. She came back and was teaching her students again, like she's done for the last 10 years, how to register to vote. And she had the registration, the voter registration card there. She helped them fill it out, the ones that are 18 years of age or older, because if you're 17, you're a fraud, unless it's within a certain amount of time. Anyway, in the voter suppression, Bill Nelson said, he met with the students also, Senator Bill Nelson, and he told the students, whom he invited to his Orlando office after reading about their teacher's plight in the Sunday paper. If this can happen to a teacher and her students, then it can happen to anybody. What happened is that Cicerelli helped the 17-year-old seniors who were turning 18 with the paperwork to pre-register for the voting rolls, as she does every year. She was on maternity leave when she came back when the legislation was passed that it requires that third parties need to register with the state before they help to sign up new voters. The law has proved so daunting that the League of Women Voters has suspended their voter registration efforts in Florida for fear of exposing volunteers up to $1,000 in fines. The Republican lawmakers who backed the rules said they were necessary to reduce voter fraud. Again with the voter fraud. Okay. Nelson, who testified against the law before a congressional hearing, hopes lawmakers change it. Among some of the other controversial elements is reduce early voting from 14 days to 8 days. Why, if they want voting, why would they want to reduce the time? I mean, this makes no sense. It's only to curb voting. And so that is the thing. We need to get back with this voting, and we need to make sure that everybody has a chance to vote. And I want to say thank you for Mr. Reese, my fellow blog talk radio host, and I guess I will be listening to Mr. Reese when I can, and I hope he sends me the information that he said he was going to send me. And as great and in honor of the great newsman Walter Cronkite, that's the way it was.
June 1st, 2012. I will be gone next week, but we will have an archive show. Maybe we'll have this one. Okay. Good night.
Man, woman, earth, death, infinity.